emerging musician or a budding filmmaker or would-be comedian, how do you win friends and influence people? How do you let the world know that you are hip, hot and happening? The ever-growing answer to this question is MySpace, the internet phenomenon that has over 100 million users worldwide, at last count anyway. The popular wisdom is that to make it, you need a sensational MySpace page. But is there a danger that you're creating a fantasy that you can't live up to? And should you be working on your art rather than spending time doing fancy graphics on your webpage? To give us the lowdown on MySpace, Ryan Egan is with us. He's the presenter of Local and or General, a music show on Melbourne's 3RRR community radio station. Hi, Ryan.
Good afternoon, Amanda.
Now, as a presenter of a community radio music show, how do you use MySpace?
Well, I use it mainly to find new bands that I'm interested in playing on my show. I showcase unsigned artists generally. I also use it to sample their music, to have a listen to what they're sounding like, to contact them. Perhaps I want to talk to them on air. To also find out about gigs that venues promoting as well. So a lot of venues in Melbourne, for example, have MySpace pages now as well. And I use it as well to keep in touch with friends and family and to, promote my own show as well, put up my radio playlists and things like that.
Mm. Well, let's just take a quick step back. For many of us, MySpace is still a little bit of a mystery, Ryan. So just explain fundamentally what it is.
Well, it's what they're calling a social networking website, and there have been a few of them around over the last couple of years. Friendster was a really big one. MySpace has taken over as the biggest of these type of social networking places. What you can do is set up a profile for yourself. You can have a photo on there, the sort of things that you're into as well, like your favourite bands, music. You can post a blog as part of this profile page of yours, put up information about, for example, if you're a band, what gigs you're doing. You can put up your own music if you're a band as well. You then meet friends. So you find other people on MySpace and invite them to be part of your little network. So you gradually build more and more and more friends, and they build friends as well. And you connect through to their friends, and maybe they've got similar interests.
So your friends tell their friends and their friends tell your friends.
Yeah, or you explore yourself and you eventually find people you like. There might be a band you like. They might have a friend that is another band in either their town or overseas. You can click on that link and see what they're all about, and then eventually, you know, find new stuff and connect with people, send emails and things like that through MySpace.
Now, it was not so long ago bought out by Rupert Murdoch, by News Corp, wasn't it? Has that changed it at all?
Well, on the surface, it doesn't seem like it. The site itself has only been operating for a couple of years, and Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation bought Intermix, which is the parent company, for it. Although in the last sort of year and a bit since Rupert's come on board, they have established offices in other countries besides the US. In Australia now, there's a MySpace office, and they're running gigs and different shows and promoting MySpace in this country as well. And there's been some changes about the direction that MySpace is going in. So they're, for example, going to be offering the opportunity to buy music from artists online, and independent artists particularly can put up their own music to buy, separate from, say, iTunes or other places that people can buy music directly from MySpace. So that's apparently going to be happening by the end of the year, which is amazing considering there's 3 million artists currently on MySpace. So
really,
potential for them to sell their music and make a little bit of extra money as well.
Now, until a couple of months ago, there was a copyright issue for artists and musicians with MySpace, wasn't there? But Billy Bragg stepped in to save the day.
Is there nothing that Billy Bragg can't do? He's he seems to be everywhere promoting the rights of artists and all different sorts of things. Yes, there was initially some legalese on the MySpace page, which essentially said that MySpace could exploit the music content that you put on the site worldwide without payment and sublicense it infinitely. And of course, a lot of people weren't that happy with that. And Billy Bragg, for one, removed his music from MySpace. MySpace then came back and said, okay, well, look, we'll change this a little bit so that we can, and they put up some new legalese in their terms and conditions, essentially saying that we do not own your copyright material. However, you give us permission to put it up on the site and for other people to then link through to it as well. Because one of the things about MySpace is that users can put the band's music they like on their own site. They can put pictures there on their own site, videos, and it all links in a kind of like a meshing social network kind of way.
So it's all sorted.
It seems to be, but with all these things, there's there's still lots and lots of grey areas. And MySpace, only in the last sort of day or so, have started cracking down on copyright material that users put up that they don't own. Mm. So we're going to see some interesting stuff come out of that still.
Well, let's hear now from Pip Branson. He's a musician. He plays guitar with the indie band Something for Kate, and Pip's also about to launch his own album. Hi there.
Hi, how are you going there, Amanda?
Pretty good, thanks. Now, is MySpace part of your strategy, Pip, for getting the word out about your new album?
Look, I would say it has to be part of my strategy, and that's my main problem with it is I'd rather not have a MySpace, but everybody's kind of got to have one. It's become an essential thing as a musician.
Yeah.
And that's a little frustrating in that I'd rather be spending time writing songs than kind of, approving friends on MySpace. But, I have met some interesting people through there, so it's not all bad.
Well, how do people find your or any other musician's MySpace page?
Well, they have to be a registered user of MySpace to actually become a friend, say. They just log on to MySpace and they set up their own MySpace site, and then they can browse MySpace, I think, without actually even being a registered user. But in order to sort of interact with any of the artists, you register to become part of MySpace and you set up your own MySpace page. Now, finding me, say, for example, I mean, a lot of people will just say, oh, I'd like to hear your music, and I go, well, have a look at my MySpace or what have you. I could also send them a CD, but that's the way it often happens these days. And or also people can look through other people's MySpace pages and say, I'm in their top 8 friends, and they'll sort of, click on a little icon, which is a little picture of me, and that'll take them to my MySpace site.
Mm. So let's just talk about the things that you're not entirely convinced about, Pip, as far as MySpace goes. For a start, do you think that punters get a true indication of what the music is like from looking at a band or soloist on MySpace?
Well, I mean, you can put up your songs, and that's great. It is, of course, an MP3 format, which is, not the best format to have your music in. And also the live streaming, which is, also makes it very disjointed. So often the songs don't play as they should. So you kind of can get an idea of what the music's like. But often people will just sort of, go to a MySpace site and listen to the first 20 seconds of a song and sort of go, oh, well, that's about me or that's not about me. So you haven't really got a lot of people engaging on a deeper level with your songs. That's sort of... is a little perturbing in a way, but I suppose at least people do have access to your music where they didn't before, in an easy format that they kind of understand.
But also for musicians, is there though an element of creating a kind of fantasy on MySpace? You can make yourself look really slick online, but you might be a bit of a dud in real life.
Well, that's true. I mean, I suppose that's part of being a musician anyways, is the creation of fantasy to some extent. But, you'd like to think that people have the goods to back it up. And, you can, if you are just very good at using things like Pimp MySpace, which is kind of where you go and sort of make your MySpace look very slick and things like that, or, you just have an amazing recording that you've spent a lot of time on. It doesn't necessarily mean you can actually... really play or actually, whether you've got the goods live or anything like that.
Ryan, has that happened to you at all? Have you been dudded by a MySpace page?
I've found a few bands through MySpace who, when I've listened to them on there or have checked out their site and then subsequently seen them live, I've been, a fraction disappointed. But that used to happen before, when I might have read an article about the band in a street press or a music magazine and perhaps wasn't able to listen to any of their music, but liked what they were talking about, like the kind of names that they were referencing in terms of what their music sounded like, checked them out and then wasn't so happy either. So in a way, MySpace and a lot of the stuff on the internet now kind of crushes that down to really smaller packets in a way. You can get like a lot of information very, very quickly, make up your mind very, very quickly as well. I actually think now I probably get a better idea about bands than what I might have before, when I couldn't, for example, hear them or couldn't see what kind of gigs they were playing, etc., just relying on, word of mouth and magazine articles.
This is The Deep End on ABC Radio National. Amanda Smith with you, talking about using MySpace as a kind of marketing and information tool for getting your music known to the wide world. Ryan Egan, the presenter of a music show on the Melbourne community radio station Triple R, is with us, as is the musician Pip Branson. Now, Pip, there are lots of stories around that suggest that unknown bands are getting discovered on MySpace and being signed up by big music agents. Is that true, or is that a bit of an urban myth?
I don't really know anybody that it's happened to, so, from my perspective, it's a slight urban myth. I mean, I know that there was a big story about the Arctic Monkeys getting signed from MySpace, and I know that's actually myth. It was actually totally to do with their website. But, I mean, I imagine that, people are, using it to sign bands or using it to find about more about bands. I mean, there is this whole sort of collection of friends things and how many plays you've had and all that sort of thing. And I think, obviously, if a record company A&R person was to go to a MySpace and, see that they've got 40,000 friends and, that, 4 million people have listened to their songs and they're not signed, then you might go, well, what am I missing out on here? But, I haven't, in my own personal experience, heard of it happening.
Ryan, do you think record companies are spending heaps of time searching MySpace for the next big thing? Is that their sort of major focus?
Well, you get the impression that A&R people are just sitting in front of their computers everywhere in the world and scouring through MySpace for the next big thing. But they're still going out and seeing bands live and relying on word of mouth from other people within the industry and more than just sort of a little snippet of streamed audio from the band as well to work out whether they've got the goods to put money behind them. And MySpace really is kind of like a complex business card in a lot of ways for an artist, and that's probably the best way to look at it if you are an artist wanting to start up your own. And it gives you an ability to make new fans as well and to generate kind of, create a community around your band of people who enjoy your music, and you can then contact them very easily and allow them to know what's going on with your band as well. So that kind of community creation, I think, is very valuable to artists as well.
Why is it better than having just your own web page?
Well, in a lot of ways, it's easier to construct and to run and to maintain, and it's cheap. It's free as well, as opposed to hosting your own website. I think if you're a band who is particularly signed and who has a big profile, like Something for Kate, you would continue to run your own website, but you would use MySpace as well and sort of run them in tandem. They serve different purposes in a lot of ways.
Well, Pip, for an up-and-coming musician or band, I mean, if you think about record companies, they tend to do all the hard work for bands, the publicity and the venue booking, organising the riders, that sort of thing. But none of that happens if you're a sole trader on MySpace, does it? I mean, you have to do it all yourself then. So is getting signed to a label still the goal?
Well, I mean, I think it's, one of those 21st century diseases that everybody's going on about how busy they are all of the time. And, I seem to sort of, constantly spend a lot of my own time just, promoting and, getting my own product out there, which, you have to do, and that's great. I mean, and as I say, there are things I'd rather be doing than sort of checking my MySpace. However, yes, of course, there comes a certain point where you need to get other people involved in the machinery of it.
If you weren't checking your page on MySpace, you'd be out sticking posters up in the street, wouldn't you?
Well, that's right, and I'd probably prefer to be doing that, but because at least, I think, people, you're actually directing people towards, a live performance, which is, I suppose, put my hand up and say that's where my passion is to see a band perform live, and I think that's where you get, the really special experience of live music.
So Ryan, then, is it, do you reckon, essential to have a MySpace page to be part of the music scene these days?
Well, I think as Pip said, it is becoming that way. I think if you want people to find you now, then that's really the one place that particularly I know people in radio and other media and record companies are going to first. They'll type in, the band's name and then MySpace in Google. It'll come up straight away. They can contact the band quickly. So, yes, it is. Mm. It is becoming that way.
Ryan Egan is the presenter of the music show Local and or General on Melbourne's 3RRR community radio station, and his day job is being a sound engineer for Radio Australia, the ABC's international service. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks.
And Pip Branson is a musician. He plays with the band Something for Kate, and he's about to launch a new solo album. Do you want to give it an old-fashioned plug on the wireless,
Pip? Oh, sure. Pip Branson Corporation, January. Look out for it.
Thanks to you, Pip. Cheers.
No, thank you very much, Amanda.
Amanda Smith with you on ABC Radio National. This is The Deep End. Still ahead, we'll find out what happens when a film crew and trucks full of equipment turn up at your house to film a stuntman crashing through your roof. Today we're meeting the location manager in our roll credits series.
Tonight on The Health Report, shooting down anti-aging supplements. People taking very common medications who don't know they might be sitting on a time bomb, plus a major worldwide review of illicit drugs, the people who use them, the real risks they take, and some of the myths that need to be blown up. And I promise you that's the last of my explosive metaphors. So light the blue touch... Oh, sorry, I just can't help myself. And join me, Norman Swan, tonight after the 8 o'clock news here on ABC Radio National.